Acts 28 and verse number 1. Paul the apostle has just made it through the shipwreck of Acts 27. And all of them have landed here on this island. And the Bible says, "And when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. It came to pass that the father, if I pronounce this right, Publius, lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary." Can you say amen? Amen to the Lord's word. You may be seated. I would like to preach to us this morning on getting closer to the fire. Getting closer to the fire. They kindled a fire, and Paul goes and gathers a bundle of sticks to put them on the fire. When Paul was putting this wood on the fire, probably this snake that everybody, no doubt it was well known in that island. And, you know, in certain parts of the world, they're very dangerous, venomous snakes that, you know, matter of fact, just immediate death. Probably most Bible commentators would agree that this was one type of those vipers. Not what, you know, I know that there's dangerous snakes, and I don't, me and snakes don't get along, but, there's some parts of the world, and I know that there are some serious, snakes in America or United States that can, you know, cause a lot of bodily harm and even death, but there are some in some parts of the world. I know that natives in some places have named them like the two-step snake. I said, "What is the two-step snake?" They said, "You'd bite that, or that snake bites you, and you got two steps and you're gone." And, just different things like that. The one-minute snake and, you know, stuff like that, or snakes like that. Probably it was something along those lines that, you know, when this snake bit you, it was immediate change and death. Bible said that he should have swollen. They was looking at others that had faced this, you know, a bite from the snake, falling down dead suddenly. Paul didn't feel no harm. He shook it off in the fire. And what it was a demonic attack, a force of hell in nature coming against Paul, and God turned it around and used it for his glory, to bring these people to God. And not only did they think he was a god, They brought the sick to him. They landed on this island with a shipwreck. They're gathering around the fire. This happens immediately to Paul, and Paul becomes number one man. Amen. God lifted him up before them all. I mean, this was a very serious kind of a situation for these Roman soldiers, which Rome at that point ruled the world, or for the most part was in control of most of the world. And they was definitely a force of power, a superpower in that day and hour. And all these Roman soldiers landed here on this place, and probably just common people, not much, you know, not a big island, just, you know, just native folks there. And so it was a great honor for them to build this fire and these Romans there. And Paul gets bit by a snake, and all of a sudden they weren't worried about the Roman soldiers. They had their eyes on one man, and that was the preacher, because God had showed forth his power in his life. Now I want to preach this morning on getting closer to the fire. The Bible teaches us about fire, amen, and we all know what fire is, but the Holy Ghost fire is what I want to preach about, and the power of God and the touch of God on our life. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus said, or John the Baptist told of Jesus, that he would baptize his disciples with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that our God is a consuming fire. The Bible teaches us that we are to be on fire for God. We get on fire for a lot of things, get, you know, shook up for a lot of things, get excited about a lot of things. I think it's time we get excited about God and his word and what he wants us to do. So they kindled a fire, and Paul goes and gathers some sticks. Amen. I believe that the Lord would have us, amen, to have a fire and to help the fire. You know, it doesn't matter how big a fire is. If you don't put some more fuel or you don't put some more wood on there, that fire will go out at some point or time. It does not matter how big that fire is, how hot that fire is. It will only last so long. That's why the Bible tells us in Leviticus they built a fire in that altar. And the Bible says that that fire was to never go out. It was the priest's job. It was the Levite's job to make sure that that fire never went out. It is our job as parents, it is our job, amen, as children of God, as Christians, Sunday school teachers, preachers, amen, it is our job to never let the fire go out. A lot of people was on fire for God at one time, but they've let the fire go out. A lot of marriages was on fire at one time. The love burning hot between that man and woman, but they let the fire go out. It is our job to not let the fire go out. God will give us the fire, but we have got to keep it burning. Amen. The Lord will give us the desire, but you've got to keep it burning. Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up that gift that is within you. Amen. We've got to cultivate it. We've got to prepare it. We've got to push it. We've got to put fuel on the fire. Amen. And Paul, hallelujah, they gathered the, they put the fire going, and Paul said, hey, they're going to build a fire. I'm going to help out. Ain't it wonderful when people will help out? And this was not Paul's fire. He didn't build it. They built it. Amen. But it was helping him and it was helping others. And he said, I'm going to help the fire. And I love people like that. I know people that way. Amen. It don't have to be their show. It don't have to be their rodeo. Come on, somebody. It doesn't have to be, you know, them shining. Hallelujah. Paul, he had just came through a shipwreck. I've seen people say, I have been in a trial in my life. I have been in a test in my life. Paul had just had shipwreck, and it wasn't going to stop him from helping build this fire. Y'all with me this morning? Help the fire. We need to help the fire. We need to put fuel to the fire. Praise God. Paul had just been in a shipwreck. Not only had he been in a shipwreck, he was the Apostle Paul. If that had been 2060, he'd say, hey, well, I'm the preacher. I'm going to stand here and watch everybody else put wood on this fire. Amen. I'm not going to work. I'm the Apostle Paul. Hey, do y'all know who I am? They didn't have a clue who he was, and they didn't care who he was. They probably had never heard the name Jesus. They probably had never heard. And I want you to know the people standing on the street corner, whether it's Longview, Dallas, or New York, amen, they could care less that I pastor this church. They need help from God. They need somebody that's got a fire. They need somebody that'll help. Amen. Build the fire. There's people dying and going to hell. Somebody said the world is going to hell in a handbasket. I'd agree. Hallelujah. We've got our agenda. We've just been in a shipwreck. We've been in a trial. And so we think we're all locked up and we don't have to put no wood on the fire. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you right now, Paul, even though he had a vision of the Lord, even though he had preached to thousands, even though he was on a mission for the king, he said, I'm going to help build this fire. He gathered sticks and he did what he could. And if we ever needed people to get involved in the work of the Lord, get involved in the things of God, get involved in the worship of the Lord, amen, get involved in fasting and praying, get involved in revival meetings, get involved in what's going on for God. Paul said, y'all going to build a fire? I'm going to help you if you don't mind. We went to service the other day, and Sister Gabbard, they pastored for 30 years, I guess, in Kentucky and done a great work for God. You know, they come by here, and I never knew Sister Ann, but just such a wonderful lady, and just try our best to help in any way, you know, and travel around. And it seems like they've already done such a great work for God. And she's, you know, older and, you know, I guess probably maybe late 60s or mid 60s. I don't know. If she was here, I'd offend her by, you know, talking about her age. But she's not here, so I'm not worried about it. And, you know, Miss D's having a birthday tomorrow. She can't blame me for that one. I would say, I didn't even know, so you can't blame me. I would say she's sitting real close to you right there on the one you could blame on telling that one. But anyways, Sister Gabbard, you know, then that has nothing to do with what I was going to say, but we went to service the other day, and she is singing, and she said, this is my prayer. And I've never heard this song. Maybe I have heard it. Sister Bethany probably heard it. Said, if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And she sang that song, Sister Betty. She said, this is my prayer. If I could just help somebody. If I could just help somebody. Amen. Here was a pastor's wife for 30-some years, and she's traveling the country now, sleeping in beds, that's not her own. Amen, living out of a suitcase, going hundreds of miles up and down the road, and her prayer is, if I could just help build that fire. Amen, you know, there's a fire in the church, there's a fire at the altar, there's a fire in your heart. Amen, I'd like to help put some wood on that fire, if that's all right. The Apostle Paul said, could I put a little wood on this fire? Could I help? I know he was the Apostle Paul. I know he didn't have to. He could have said, I've done everything I could do. Amen. I know my time is end. Getting near. My end time is near. I think I'll just sit back and relax just for a little while. No, not the Apostle Paul. He had a heart to help. And I pray that the Lord would give me and everyone a heart to help. It says, I'm going to help you build that fire. That song said, move over just a little bit. I'll lend you a helping hand. That's what the Apostle Paul said in the way he was acting. Y'all building a fire? Man, I'm going to help. Y'all having a revival? Man, I'm going to help. Praise God. Y'all fasting? Put me in on that. I can see the Apostle Paul. Oh, y'all fast? Hey, put me in on that. Wait, you're the Apostle Paul. It don't matter. I want to help build this fire. But this ain't your fire. You're just fixing to go on a few. You're not going to stay on this island. It doesn't matter. Anybody building a fire, I want to be a part of it. Hallelujah. He didn't come and ask them what kind of fire it was. He didn't come ask them nothing. He just wanted to help. Amen. I'm telling you, there's another song said, everybody put your shoulder to the wheel and do your duty with a heart full of love. And if you don't mind working, my Lord says, put your shoulder to the wheel. Praise God. All you people put your shoulder to the wheel. All you brothers put your shoulder to the wheel. All you sisters put your shoulder to the wheel. All you preachers put your shoulder to the wheel. All you deacons put your shoulder to the wheel. All you singers, put your shoulder to the wheel. All the children, put y'all with me this morning. Everybody put their shoulder to the wheel. Amen. And God will move. The Apostle Paul said, I'm going to get closer to this fire and I'm going to help. I'm going to do whatever I can. Hudson Taylor was a great missionary. He was preaching one time, talking about the need for missions, talking about the need for young people to go to the foreign field. This great missionary was talking to this congregation in Scotland, and there was this man that had one leg. He lingered around late, waited and waited, finally come up to the old missionary, and he said, you know, while you're talking, such a burden come on my heart, and said, I would like to go. What do I do? Where do I sign up? I'd like to try to work out, you know, on missions. And Hudson Taylor said, you know something about his one leg? Somebody talking to the man. Amen. The man said, well, I didn't see nobody with two legs volunteering, so I figured I could go. Hallelujah, Jesus. Shipwreck didn't stop Paul from moving on. The Apostle Paul didn't stop him from moving on. He said, I'm going to help the fire. I believe we've got some people right here this morning that want to help the fire. Somebody come up, pray. They'll pat him on the back. Brother, I'm right here with you. Praise God, sister. I'm right here with you. Amen. I'm praying for you. I don't have to know what you're going through. I would just like to put some sticks on the fire. Hallelujah. Praise God. And while he was putting sticks on the fire, a snake came out and bit him. The devil doesn't like it when you are doing something for God. If you do something for God, the devil is going to stick his old ugly head up. You can mark it down. You live for God. You do something. I mean, he's going to start. He's going to do his dead level best to stop it. And just because the devil sticks his head up doesn't mean that we shouldn't have put sticks on the fire. I want to turn your attention to this serpent. The Bible says this venomous beast hung on his hand. Amen. They said no doubt this man was a murderer. You know, Brother Curtis, he was a murderer. He was. He took responsibility for Stephen's death. It was because of Paul or Saul that Stephen had died. And I'm going to tell you, the grace of God overpowers, amen, any superstition or any bad luck. Come on now. Praise God. Here they were, superstitious people. And this snake come out and grabbed a hold of him, and they immediately identified it with his past. And very well, that right there, amen, could have boosted their faith in superstition, amen, and all types of evil worship. But instead, the Apostle Paul sent it right back where it came from. Hallelujah. I want you to know, amen, the fire will reveal the sin, but the fire will also destroy the sin. Praise God. Amen. He sent it right back. Amen. Paul, hallelujah, wasn't out chasing snakes. He was not saying, man, I'm telling you what, if I'm going to build this fire, I'm going to get rid of some of these snakes. Amen. I'm going to take care of some of these, you know. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to, you know. He was just trying his dead level best to do what he could for God and help others. And I want you to know, sometimes you're not out trying to pick a fight with the devil, but you don't have to pick a fight with the devil. He'll pick a fight with you. He'll cause trouble in your life. You start praying more. You step out in faith. Amen. There will be resistance. There will be forces. There will be walls. There will be the attack of the enemy. And the Apostle Paul was doing a good job here and a good deed. And the devil was going to try to stop it. Amen. And hinder it and kill him. Hallelujah. The serpent was revealed by the fire. That snake would have never come out of those sticks if it wasn't for the fire. I want you to know the devil will leave you alone until you start getting close to the fire. Till you start surrendering. Till you start going. I've seen people that couldn't. The Bible said that temptation arose there in that parable of the sower. He said because of the words. When persecution arose for the word's sake. When you start living for God, amen, you start going against the grain, the devil is going to rise up and persecution will rise up. The Bible said all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution in 2 Timothy, amen, chapter 3. He said all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And the Apostle Paul here lays these sticks on the fire and out comes the snake. The snake would have never came out if it wasn't for the fire. So the fire revealed the poison. Now I want you to know, you're living for God and you get close to the power of the Holy Ghost, you'll find poison in your life that you never knew was there. If every light was off in this place and there was some poisonous snake over here in the corner, we wouldn't even know it was there. We could walk around, you know, never see it's hid out over there. But you turn that light on, and that snake sees us, he's going to move around. We're going to notice him. Now I want to tell you one of the most foolish things to do is to turn the lights back off and act like you never saw it. I've seen a lot of people do that. Amen. We try to do that in our life. We get closer to God. God reveals things in our life that we never knew was there. Maybe even shows us things we never knew was wrong. Maybe he reveals us. We was doing fine before we knew it. We didn't know that snake was over here in the corner. We was just fine. But you can turn the lights off all you want to. I and you, we know he's there now. And so the conscience will condemn a person because the Holy Ghost or the Word of God revealed whether it's unforgiveness, bitterness, lust, sin, you know, any type of sin, pride. There's something in there, and when we get closer to God, God reveals it. There may be even a situation arise because of it, but it's God trying to show us the poison that is in our life. One of the most foolish things to do is to turn the light off. Power of God, use a preacher or use a church or use somebody to reveal something that is in our life. God is trying to make us better people. And instead of doing something about it, we'll try to shut up that voice. Amen. There have been churches or individuals that, amen, people that tried to shut up the voice rather than deal with the poison. Praise God. Lord, help us today. Amen. The snake was revealed because of the heat. Now I want you to know, you turn the heat up in your life, you get on fire for God, you start praying, you start fasting, you start going to church. Can I get a witness this morning? You start getting closer to that fire, that snake's going to come out and latch on your arm. It might be in your job, it might be in your family, it might be in your heart, it might be a situation you never knew was there. But Paul got too close to the fire. He would have been fine if he wouldn't have got close to that fire. But I want to tell you, the fire is what gives us life. The fire is what gives us, amen, the touch of God in our life. The fire is what we need. The power of God is what we need in this life. Amen. A dead, dry fireplace with no heat ain't gonna never help nobody. And so likewise, amen, just saying we're a Christian and never living any different ain't gonna help society at all. Y'all with me this morning? There's a lot of people in our world and in our country and our society. You ask them this morning, they're a Christian. They ain't worshiping God, and it's the Lord's day. And they didn't worship God last week or the week before. Oh, but they're a Christian. Well, I'm not their judge. But they sure ain't helping society at all. They sure ain't helping the world that we're in at all. Because there ain't no fire in their oven. Hello? We got to do something. We've got to get out. We've got to make a difference. We've got to speak up. We got to make a stand. Amen. Or God, amen, is going to pass the baton on to somebody else that will carry the fire. Lord, help me. I remember a time, and I'm going to move on, talking about it being revealed. I used to pray when I was a young teenager. I went in the back of my dad's church, and I found a little bitty closet, and I'd pray in that closet. And I'd go in there, and there was no lights in there. It was like a hot water closet or something back by the Baptist or something. I was just a little guy. You know, I could get in there and crawl in there and just barely any space, but it was dark in there, and I'd go in there and pray. Well, I kind of started liking that place, so I ran me extension cord in there and a little lamp in there, and I'd read my Bible while I was praying. The Lord touched me many times. I'd go in there, and I'd pray. One time I went in there and had a good prayer meeting. I thought, well, man, I was going to need to read something in the Bible. And I turned the light on, and man, I'd bend way over. I couldn't bend over now, but I kept bent way over real close to the concrete. And then I turned that light on, and he was a big old spider. I mean, he looked like that big, but he was actually only about that big old, you know, probably just a grass spider or something come in there. I mean, my face, I probably touched him with my nose. Man, I come alive. I come out of there. I ran out of there. I thought, woo, my Lord, help us. I didn't know that thing was in there. I wouldn't have been praying. Hallelujah. And look at this. And of course, I thought, well, if I don't go back and kill that spider, I'll never be able to pray in there again. Every time I go in there, I think he's behind me. He's over me, whatever. So I go around. You know how it is at the church. You can't find nothing. They ain't got nothing like wall spray or nothing. But all I found was Lysol in probably the boys or girls' bathroom sink. Somebody had Lysol. I went in there and I Lysoled him to death. Amen. So he was clean and he was dead. And I carried that thing out of there. You know, I've never forgot that, because the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me that day and said, you was in here praying and you never knew that spider was in here until you turned the light on. And so likewise in our life, many times there's things in our heart that we don't even know is there. But until we turn the light on, amen, the Word of God brings light. The power of God brings light. Until you get close to that fire, you don't even know it's there. Say, man, I didn't even know that unforgiveness was there. I didn't even know that bitterness was there. I didn't even know that lust was there. Where'd this come from? It was there, rooted in the heart the whole time. Amen. But then again, the Spirit was dealing with me. If I wouldn't have took care of him, I'd have never been able to pray in there really again. You try to push stuff out of your mind. Well, just forget about that lust. Let's just forget about that, you know, that temper tantrum I threw. Where'd that come from? I'll tell you what, you're getting close to the fire. Amen. And God's revealing the poison. I'm here to preach to you this morning. Get even closer to the fire. Because my last point is this right here. The same fire that revealed the serpent killed the serpent. I said the same fire that revealed the serpent killed the serpent. Now I want to tell you something, brother and sister. Amen. The same fire, amen, that will reveal, amen, whatever's wrong in our life is the same fire that we've got to send it back to. Amen. The devil try to send something to you. Send it back. I don't receive. He just shook it off in the fire. The devil, I don't want nothing to do with you. Get off getting that fire. Amen. And the same fire that brought the serpent out and showed him is the same fire that sizzled, amen, that serpent to death. Now I want to preach to you this morning. Amen. The serpent was defeated by the fire. We've got to send it back. It was a breakthrough for this island. Amen. And it will be a breakthrough in our life. Many times God brings tests our way. Amen. To raise us higher. To take us to a new level. Instead of all of a sudden him being a prisoner. Amen. That they thought could be a murderer or anything. All of a sudden, no. This is somebody supernatural. Amen. And God used him, amen, to pray for the sick, and God used him to heal those that had diseases. And no doubt that island was never the same. Amen. They had the gospel preached to them. They had a light of the gospel preached to them. Amen. All because somebody wasn't afraid to get close to the fire. God help us to get close to the fire. Hallelujah. The test became a testimony. Hallelujah. I said the test became a testimony. Romans says, amen, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Hallelujah. Paul, amen, fighting the devil, standing for God. All of a sudden, hallelujah, all of a sudden had his foot on the devil's head. All of a sudden he was in charge of this situation. All of a sudden, because he kept getting closer to the fire, and we've got to get closer and closer and closer. Amen. We've got to do more and more for God instead of pulling back when the devil sends an attack. Instead of saying, man, I don't think I'm going to pray so much, amen, because the devil's going to attack me. I'm not going to go in there. Amen. Instead, let's let God move in our life, because the Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You get this right here, church. God knew all along that snake was there, and the devil tried to send it up, and God knows all along what the trap the devil, amen, and what snare the devil's trying to send your way to bring doubt and confusion, amen, and defeat your life. And instead of the serpent defeating Paul, Paul defeated the devil. Instead of the devil winning and won over on him, Paul won one over on the devil. And I believe the Lord wants to help folks right here and have his way in our life, and take our test and turn it into a testimony, amen, and take what has come up and rose up in our life and give us the strength to get the victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Stand together with me this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't have no piano. Sister Janice can help us on the piano this morning. We'll pray just for a moment right here. Thank you, Lord, for your grace to us. And thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for what you mean to us, God. Maybe somebody, Lord, has got closer to you and it's been revealed something in their life, something in their heart. I pray, Lord, that you'll give us the grace and the power to send it back in Jesus' name. Send it back for the glory of God. Not receive it. Like the Apostle Paul just shook it off in the fire. Have your way this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like for us to gather in these altars for a time of prayer. There may be someone who needs extra prayer this morning. Needs a touch from the Lord. The Lord is happy. Thank you.